Page 510. Heaven came down. I know this is, if I can tell you right now, this is one of Marilyn's favorite songs right here.
Thank you.
say it's 5:15, 5:15, since I have been redeemed. You don't know that movie? Them just to play this. They will, as we're coming out right after Sunday school, Kim and Marilyn was playing this song, Cleanse Me. And you can look on page 657 of your life and just read the words, and if you want to, as they play. But I think they've done such a wonderful job doing that. And I want y'all to play a little bit of that. And then after that, Brother Joey and Kayla, I think they have a song that they're going to share with me. So y'all play a little bit of that, and then we'll ask y'all to come up.
Thank you.
Joey and Kaylee, will y'all, if y'all don't mind, will y'all make those way up?
Rivers of grace. testimony. The thing you need to do is that.
Good job, brother. Good job.
Well, that was beautiful, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, it's good to see everybody here. If we was giving out smiley faces for the ones that brought the most people, the graves would be, they'd be taking home. Tell you, it was so good to see you. We had several that had to leave and go to funerals and such as that, but we had so many more that came in. So let's go. So good to see each and every one of you. Good to see the Pattersons back with us. We're glad y'all are feeling better and glad y'all are back here with us today.
Amen.
And we want you to make yourself at home if you're visiting today, and if the Spirit will make you feel welcome, then you will be made welcome. But we love you and we're glad you're here today. And when they told me how many people were watching or signed into our podcast, it did make me nervous, Brother Mitchell. I can see why you didn't want to tell me. But I'm glad that they are, and I hope that they get a blessing out of it. There's a lot of folks that are not able to get up and put on their clothes and come to church like you and I are, and so they depend. Used to be radio they depended on, but now they can watch it on screen or listen to it in all different forms and fashions. So we hope it'll be a blessing to them and to you. I thought about we were mentioning Memorial Day, and this is Memorial Weekend, and tomorrow is officially Memorial Day. And in our Sunday school, Brother Michael kind of opened up a bucket of worms when he talked about how many people went off to war in World War II, and he was having us guess at how many people from the United States went to war. And it was, I don't even remember the number, 16 million. Wow. And my mind went back to, I want you to remember, not only in World War II, we seem to kind of look at that one because of the financial condition that the United States of America was in when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. We were in a depression, and things were pretty tough in this country. And I want you to remember, with the exception of some high-ranking officers, the majority of those 16 million were young, very young men, 17, 18 years old. Some were younger than that lied about their age and because they wanted to serve their country and got in. Back in that day and time, they didn't have a lot of ways to really track your true age like they can today with your Social Security number and all of this. But Brother Chris made mention that was truly the greatest generation in our time that we know of. And I guess it's because we can see what we've got here in America today, the kind of lifestyles we can live, the things we enjoy, because of what the sacrifice that they made back then. And my dad was one of those that went right after the bombing. And I probably told y'all before, but he told me, he said, for a boy that had never been out of Blount County, but one time, and he said, we went to Bessemer. And back in that day and time, cars didn't go very fast and roads were not very good. So a trip to Bessemer was long ways, long ways. And he said, for a boy that grew up in Blount County around Oneonta, not to have ever seen anything, to one minute be at home and seemed like the next minute he's in San Diego, California, and the next minute he's in the South Pacific. He said he saw about every country there is to see, all before he was 19 years old. And he said, we didn't know what danger we were in. He said, when you're young like that, and he said, that's the reason that they call young men for this kind of thing, because we didn't have quite sense enough to realize what kind of danger we were in. But we knew we loved our country, and we knew that it was worth fighting for. And so as we celebrate this Memorial Day, let's remember those that not only those that have given their life, but those that have gone. And we've got many here in the church today, several, that have served in our United States military, and we honor you for that.
Amen.
We do. And we appreciate that. We never, never take our freedom for granted. It's not something that was owed us, but it's a gift from God. And we appreciate those that sacrificed their time and their lives for our country. If you'll turn in your Bible to Job, the 19th chapter, I want you to pray for us for just a few minutes while we try to mind God and do that the Lord would have us to do. Yesterday, I held a funeral of a 10-year-old young boy, and looked like he was in the prime of his time. His picture on his obituary card was him in his football uniform and holding a football with a Bluntsville helmet in his hand. And I never saw so many kids come and view a casket and go around. But I want you to pray for that family, the Jackson family. They're devastated, as you can imagine. And only God can help them to deal with this. But I pray that you'd please pray for that family. And love your children, hug up on them, your grandchildren. Let them know you love them, you care about them, because the next time that we get in a vehicle and go somewhere, we don't know what the future holds. So love them while there's time and opportunity. Chapter 19, Book of Job, and I'm going to read several verses here, but try to stay along with me here as I read. Said, then Job answered and said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. He hath stripped me of my glory, taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and my hope hath he removed like a tree. Boy, this is depressing, isn't it? He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance very estranged from me. My kinfolks have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servants, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin, to my flesh, and I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. Maybe that's where that term come from. I got by with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, I'm telling you today, as we begin to look at this and to read this, and those of you that are Bible readers, you know that this 19th chapter is taken up in a time that Job is in the midst of his tribulations. He's in the midst of his troubles. I want you to understand this was not a fairy tale. This was not something that a story or a Hollywood makeup, but this is something that actually happened to a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. And as we look at this, Job is responding in this 19th chapter to something that one of his three friends by the name of Bildad had said to him. And basically, not only Bildad, but basically his three friends, somebody said, with friends like these, you don't need any enemies. But Bildad had basically, in the 18th chapter, had told Job that you're suffering like this because of your wickedness. If we can sum it up, that's what Bildad was saying to Job. You're suffering like this. You're suffering the sufferings of a wicked person. And Job, we know that in this time, in the midst of his tribulations, and he was dealing with the loss of his kids, the loss of his livestock, the physical destruction of his body. The devil had told God, skin for skin, a man will do all that he has for his life. And when the devil saw that by the taking of his children, by the taking of his livestock, that Job would not curse God, the devil figured that if I can touch his flesh, that a man will do anything to try to get relief from pain, from his flesh. But the Bible says that Job retained his integrity. He didn't take the advice of his wife, who told him when she saw his deplorable state, condition that he was in, and her advice was to him to curse God and die. I believe she was promoting suicide to him. It's what I really, if you read into that, I think that that's what she was. She was so torn up at the condition that Job was in. But Job told her, said, "Thou speak as a foolish woman." He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now that didn't make it any easier for Job to accept this tribulation that had come upon him. But his faith and his trust was in God, and his faith and his trust was in that if this is the way my life is going to end up, if I'm going to die in this condition that I'm in, I've got a better place to go. Now, on top of all of these things that had happened to him, his three friends who you would have thought would have been consolers to him and giving him words of encouragement are saying, "Job, God knows what you're going through and everything's going to be okay. God's going to get you through this thing." Instead of that, they were doing like maybe a lot of us will do today, and we'll begin to reckon what that person did that brought these evils upon them. And this tormented Job even more. He told him, you're adding to my afflictions. As if I don't hurt enough, you're adding to my afflictions. Now, these were his friends. And these were godly men. I believe they were. And they were, because they knew something about God. They knew something about how God was and about how he reacted to things. But they had this all out of, they didn't know about the visit that the devil had had with the Lord and how God was going to show the devil and show us that if a man really loves God, that he can get through all of these things. They didn't know all of this. They just thought Job had done some kind of evil in his life that had brought all of this about him. So as we begin to look at this, Job made the statement here in the 23rd verse. After he complained of all the things that had become him, the pain he was in, even how he felt like God had, for some reason, had turned his back on him. This is what he said. He said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. I'm going to tell you something. God granted Job his request. He gave him 42 chapters to tell about what kind of man he was, what he went through, the sorrows that he went through, the wealth, the esteem that he had prior to this coming to him. The Bible said he was the greatest of all the men in the land of Uz. His farm was bigger than everybody else's. The Bible said that during that time that he was going through all of these blessings, that he would get down and he would pray and he would agonize with God. When his kids got together to maybe have a party, he'd get down on his knees and he'd say, God, be with them and help them. And Lord, if they might curse you while they're having their party, or maybe do something that's against you, Lord, Lord, have mercy on them. That's the kind of man that Job was. He didn't take for granted anything, but he feared God, the Bible said, and he eschewed evil. So all of these things came about him, and he requested that the things that came upon him might be written down somewhere, that they might be recorded. I looked at the beginning of the book of Job in my Thompson chain, and it said that the author is unknown. When I went to research the scriptures a little further, there was nobody even suggested who an author may have been in this. But somebody knew the condition that Job went through, and Job's words were recorded. It may have been Job himself. I don't know. But it was recorded here. But the point I want to get around to, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I begin to think about this. You and I most likely will never ever go through an inkling of what Job went through in his life. I can't imagine somebody in a short period of time, in a few days, I can't imagine them losing their livestock, losing their children, and then being struck with boils all over their body from the sole of their feet to the crown of their head. I just can't imagine that all happening at one time to a person. But it did to Job. And so we look at his integrity through all of this. He probably thought a lot of times about the advice that his wife gave him to curse God and die. And I'm sure there was times in his life that it was tempting for him to just go ahead and put an end to this thing. We see many people that they have a lot of different physical ailments, and they've just gone as far as they can go, and they'll take their life. We see that a lot of times. I had a neighbor that I felt like he had gone as far as he could go with the pain that he was going through and took his life. But I want to say this, that through all of this, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, Job was around before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know in the latter days that he's going to be here upon the earth. And we read in the New Testament where Jesus was born to a virgin woman, and that he lived and preached his own everlasting gospel for 30 some odd years. He walked on this earth and gave himself a supreme sacrifice that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. And we can know, just like Job knew, that our Redeemer liveth today. Amen. Boy, I begin to think about this, and isn't it something how Job just went from the 21 verses in this 19th chapter of making complaints about the condition that he's in, making complaints about his friends and how they're treating him, to just blurting out, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And the question I want to ask you today is simply this: do you know that your Redeemer liveth today? There's a difference in hoping that he did. There's a difference in maybe that he did. There's a difference in maybe saying, well, maybe the church has got this thing right. Maybe there is something to it. I'm going to tell you today, you can know, Brother Shorty, without the shadow of a doubt. We live in a world today where there's so many unknowns and unsureties today. But if you want to get your teeth sunk into something today that's sure and steadfast and will do when the world's on fire, you can know that you know that you know that your Redeemer liveth. Crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day. Amen. Ascended back to the Father to make intercession for you and I today. And I'm glad he's still making. I don't even know how to pray. Amen. When I get down and out of discouraged, I just go and I begin to plead my cause to the Lord. And sometimes I'm not even making sense to myself. But somehow or another, that mediator, I can hear my prayers, and he knows my needs. Isn't it something to go to somebody that knows your needs before you ever ask them today? And I can plead my case out of him, and he takes it to the Father. Amen. And he grants me that I stand in need of today. Amen. This is something you know. This is something you know today. I've heard folks say, I hope I'm going to heaven. And then when you tell them, you ask them, you say, you hope you're going, don't you know you're going? They said, no, and you don't either. That's what they'll say. But I'm going to tell you something today. I know today. This is something I could have promised you, church. I ain't one for dressing up. And I ain't one for getting in an assembly regular. If I had my rathers, I'd be in a t-shirt and I'd be working on that electric fence at the house that needs some work. If I had my rathers. But I'm going to tell you something today, because I know that I know that I know. I know I'm saved. I know he called me to preach. And I know that if I don't do what God wants me to do, I won't even have a pasture to run electric fence in. Amen? Amen. So you can know today, there's no sense in the world as anybody going through this life tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that's going about in our world today. Amen. You got one person over here saying everybody's going to heaven. You got some over here saying that there's only a few going, and the other ones didn't have a choice to go. Amen. But I'm going to tell you today, according to the Word of God, it's a whosoever will thing.
black or white, green or blue, I'm going to tell you they're precious in His sight, sister. And everybody has that opportunity to know that they know that they know. Lord, help us today. If Job could remain through all of this, if he could remain faithful to God. Oh, there was times he questioned, amen, why things were happening to him, amen. But I'm going to tell you, he knew down in his heart who God was. And he knew down in his heart that one day a Redeemer was going to come, the supreme sacrifice. He didn't know if he'd live to see that day or not. But he knew that his Redeemer liveth today. What's a Redeemer, preacher? It's somebody that pays the price. Somebody that pays the price. If you got a mortgage on your house and you owe several thousand dollars on it, and somebody comes along and says, here, let's go to the bank. I'm going to write a check and get you out from under this burden. That's about what it's like. Amen. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that Christian people today should be joyful people. I really do. Well, preacher, I'm toting a burden. Well, I am too. Job was toting a burden too, far more than you and I. But he knew that things were going to get better. I don't really think that Job thought that in this life things were going to be any better. I really don't. I really don't. I think he felt like at the state and condition that his body was in and his and how he was physically and all the stress on him from losing his kids and his livestock and everything around, I figure he thought his days were just numbered. So what he was looking at was not anything on this side of the grave, but he was looking at what God had for him on the other side. That's what he was looking at. He had so many bad things happen to him in a short period of time that he thought there was no hope for this life. If in this life only we had hope in God, we'd be of all men most miserable. Aren't you glad, Ricky, it goes past this? Amen. The Bible says man born of woman's but a few days and full of trouble. Well, preacher, that's depressing. But it's true. It's true. I mean, we have some good times. I'm enjoying myself right now. But tomorrow may be a whole different ballgame. Probably will. There's a lot of trouble that's coming each and every one of us. Some of you have already been through a lot. Some of you still have it yet to come. There's trouble is inevitable. It's coming. You may not, and we pray that you don't have the trouble that Job had. But nevertheless, it's trouble, and it's something that'll trouble you. And you need to know, without the shadow of a doubt, that whether that trouble gets better or whether it don't in this life, that you know that your Redeemer liveth. And you know, boy, there was times in my life where I thought, well, this is about as bad as it can get. Poor, pitiful me, this is about as bad as it can get. Ain't no recovery from this. And all of a sudden, when I got through having a pity party and I got serious with God, and I said, God, I don't know why this is happening like it is. I don't understand it, but God, you do. Bless you do. Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me and get me out of this, God. Put my feet up on a higher plane, God. Help me, dear Heavenly Father. And lo and behold, at the time that I least expected it, at the time I least expected it, He'd put me up on a higher plane. And I can look back on that problem. There was many of them, but that particular one I can look back on, and it's in my past. And I can see where God hurtled me over that thing. See, to know that you know that you know today, it's important. Because if you don't know, chances are you're lost without God today. I'm just being honest with you. There's things that we can know in this life of unsurety. I don't know if my car is going to crank when I leave here. I hope it does. Aiming on it cranking. But I don't know. If you ask me for a certainty, I can't say that I know. I don't know if I'll be as healthy tomorrow as I am today. The blind man that Jesus gave back his sight was questioned by the priest. And they said, who was it that gave you back your sight? We know you've been blind from your birth. We've carried you to eye doctors and they couldn't do nothing with you. Who was it gave back your sight? He said, a man named Jesus touched my eyes. They told him, they said, this man's a sinner. This man you're telling us healed you is a sinner. They encouraged him. They said, give God the praise. Give God the praise. This man is a sinner. The blind man whose sight was recovered, this is what he said. He said, one thing I know, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. He had just met him. But he said, one thing I know is wherein I was blind. He said, now I see. Now I see. If you've ever been saved, you were at one time blind, but now you see. You weren't physically blind, you were spiritually blind. All of this was a hoax. All of this was just folks that like to put their dress clothes on and get up on Sunday morning and go somewhere. But then when your eyes were opened, you could see clearly what God had. And you can know. You know today. I feel like I'm not being judgmental, and I'm not one of these preachers that can look at people and say, this one's lost and this one's backslid. I've never been able to do that. I hope everybody's right where they need to be. But I'll tell you this. I feel like the Lord wouldn't have sent this message if there's not somebody here that don't know, that's not sure that they've got it. They're gambling on it. Some say, well, if he's the loving God that the church preaches that he is, he's not going to let anybody die and go to hell. He wouldn't do that. No, but you'll let yourself. You'll condemn, the Bible says, you'll amen your own condemnation. You'll be your accuser before God. So if you don't know, boy, time's running out. Job said that his Redeemer liveth and would walk on the earth in the latter days. The latter days was over 2,000 years ago. So we're in the latter days. Jesus is fixing to call an end to this thing. God's going to call an end to it. And whether or not he calls an end to it today or tomorrow or 10 years from now, when you draw and I draw my last breath, that's time's up for us. So I want to encourage you that if you don't know, boy, it don't hurt to come. The devil can get you in a condition where you begin to doubt your salvation. Boy, I've been there. Heard a preacher one time said, if you ain't do this and don't do this and do this, you ain't saved. And I'd say, Lord, is he right? And I'd go and I'd get down and I'd ask God. And I'd say, help me, Lord. And God would show me that what he did for eternity. But if you don't know, don't gamble with this thing. I feel like if, as Brother Roger Tankersley said one time, as he was running from his call to preach, he said, the Lord, pull back and let me look into hell. And he said it wasn't a pleasant sight, but it took that for me to give in to his calling, that this was a real place, and it was a place where not only people are going, but that people are already there. Already there. And so you can know that you know that you know. Let me read to you a few verses, and we're fixing to close this thing out. In 1 Peter 3 and 15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." God help me today if somebody ever asked me what it is that gives me the peace that I've got down in my heart, and I ain't close enough to God to even give them an answer. Peter encourages us to be ready to always give an answer. So you may not have an answer. You can get that answer today. You can. In Psalms, the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." I don't know how y'all take this, and I know sometimes the Bible is kind of mysterious about what certain things mean. But I think this is what means that he wants the redeemed of the Lord to say so. Doesn't hurt every now and again to tell somebody you're saved. Don't hurt every now and again to tell somebody how he's blessed you and what he's done for you. Amen? I like in praise reports. Somebody said, I want to give a praise report. Whoa, what a blessing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why a lot of people don't have nothing to say? Because they don't have nothing to say about. Nothing to say about. Let me encourage you. If you don't know, it's the time to know. Tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. I don't know. Maybe just seeing that little 10-year-old laying in the casket, maybe that had a bearing on me. I don't know. And seeing all those children come crying, his teammates, his friends. I don't know, maybe that had a bearing on me, but I realize that time is drawing nigh. It's drawing nigh for each and every one. My graduating class, I tell Belinda, I said, "Don't tell me no more about who died. It's depressing." Oh, man, class of 82. Just dying off like that. We're around 61, 62 years old. Natural causes, most of them. I said, "Don't tell me no more about who died." But you can know that you know that Job knew. He knew his Redeemer liveth. In spite of all that I'm going through, and even though my friends are telling me that I did something bad to bring this all about me. And Job knew that he had been a sinner and that God saved him. He knew he believed in God and he knew that God loved him. Just because the Bible says that Job was perfect doesn't mean he was born perfect. He was a human being just like you and I was today. But somehow or another, somebody told Job about God, probably at a very young age. And Job fell in love with God. He fell in love with God. And boy, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. And I'm glad that Job's request got met here, that these words be recorded in a book. He said, "Oh, that they might be recorded in a book, carved in the stone." Job, I don't know whether you lived long enough to see it or not, but 42 chapters are dedicated to you today. Job was just hoping that the end of this thing would be his death and that he could get out of this walks of life. Let me tell you something about what God did for Job. You go and read the last few chapters of this book. See, what goes around comes around. It was a man named Elihu, I believe it was, that God sent to Job. And God rebuked his three friends for how they had treated Job. And God basically said it like this: unless Job prays for you, unless Job prays for you, in other words, I believe what they're saying, unless Job forgives you and prays for you, you're in trouble for all these things that you said to him, all these things that you, miserable comforters is what he called them. And the Bible said that Job prayed for them. Job prayed for them. And God restored unto Job, I believe it was twice more than he had before. Job would have been satisfied just to leave, just to say, God, take me out of this place. But I can just see God, Job, I'm not through with you yet. You've been too good a spokesman for me. You've been too good a ambassador for the cause. Not only am I not going to take you out right now, no matter how bad you want me to, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you more children. We're going to increase those livestock. We're going to broaden your borders. Amen. And everyone that had anything bad to say about you while you was going through your tribulation, they're going to suffer for that. That's what God did for Job. You can know. One more verse. Be getting us a song. Paul said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What's that, preacher? That's confessing what you know. It's confessing what you know. That's all that is. Brother James Earl Pate said for a long time after he got saved, he just didn't feel right with God. And preaching condemned him, kept on condemning him. And he would try to go get saved again and try to go get saved again. Finally, one time at the altar, preacher looked down at him, said, Brother James, said, you've come up here trying to get saved, and you said you were saved years ago. What's the deal? What's going on? He said, I know the Lord saved me, but I don't have that peace and that joy that the people here in the congregation have. He said, I just don't have it. Preacher asked him, said, have you ever testified that you're saved? Have you ever told it? Have you ever confessed it to people? You confessed it to God. Have you confessed it to people? Well, I'm shy. Bible said, can you imagine Brother James Earl being shy? But the Bible said that, Brother James Earl said that he got up and he just raised his hand and said, church, I've been saved. I know that I'm saved. And he said from that point on, he was never tormented about that again. Maybe you've been saved and you've just never told anybody. It don't have to be at church. I got saved laying in my bed one night. The Lord reached down and saved my soul. Maybe you've never told anybody. It's a personal thing. I agree with you. It's a personal thing between you and God, between me and God. It is. But he said, let the redeemed say so. Do you realize that by your testimony of your salvation, of what God did for you, that there may be somebody here in the house that needs to hear that needs to be saved, that needs to hear that? You can know that you know that you know. And I like to say this, if you don't know, maybe you're one of those that's saying, I don't know, and you don't either, preacher. I don't know you, but I know me. If you don't know, I hope the Spirit will invite you to come to the altar and to pray and to ask God to give you an oh-so salvation today. Amen. Come get us a song. If everybody will stand.
571.
Man would praise the Lord for his goodness.